This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Atatula here with you alongside Mike Bassett Jr. and Alec Medford with a KNC Masterpiece for this week. And we have had a lot of fun out at Globe Life Field this week for All-Star Game festivities, or All-Star festivities in general, 2024. We capped it off last night with the gem, the Midsummer Classic. And so we're going to talk about your, Mike, observations, our observations, and your observations, the Tolos. Right. Text in on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. You can also catch us on YouTube and Twitch. YouTube is 105 through the Fan. Twitch is Dallas Fan Cam. Mike, how you feeling, man? Just after this stretch of All-Star weekend all the way through Tuesday, how are you feeling after being a Rangers legend, being at all these things, home run derby, All-Star game? What's going through your mind?
One, very tired, and then I found out last night, my son's like, hey, guess what? I have a game at 4:30 Wednesday in Melissa. So now we have to leave the house at 2:30 today to take the one-hour drive to Melissa for his 4:30 game, which there's thunderstorms in the Metroplex around that time.
Scattered showers I saw.
But I'm feeling great. I'm so happy that the Texas Rangers and that our Metroplex Arlington got to host this. I'll start off with a fun story.
Okay.
I showed you a picture of this.
Yes. This is the type of content I love, by the way.
I got a hot dog from heaven last night. Okay.
Medford, you know what that means, right?
No.
Okay. All right. So, you know the story of like the Jewish people as God releases them from slavery from the Egyptians,
and like,
you know,
how we gonna eat?
Yeah, and so God, you know, rains down manna from heaven.
That's
eventually,
right.
The Jewish people get all upset with God and revolt because they want more food.
Your theology.
They want different food. They're tired of this manna thing or whatever, you know. And they're like, "Screw you, God!" And he's like, "All right, well, you guys can go back into slavery if you want." Anyways. They decide in the fifth inning Reggie, you were there, right? Or in the middle part of the game, I would guess, maybe later, maybe sixth or seventh inning?
I believe that was towards the seventh inning because I wasn't actually in the press box at that point. I tried to go and see if I could hear from Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, who had both been withdrawn from the game at that point.
So anyways, they say, we're about to do hot dogs from heaven. And so look up into the sky. And so people from the upper deck, I can't see where I was seated. I cannot see the upper deck above me because, you know, it's kind of stacked on top. And I was in the 100 levels, kind of in the outfield area. So between third base and the foul pole and right about where the awning is, where you can't see up. So you look up and then all of these hot dogs have parachutes on them and they're throwing hot dogs in the wrapper with a parachute on him. And a hot dog ended up coming to me, grabbed the hot dog. I sent Reggie a picture of, hey, I caught a hot dog from heaven. And now how am I going to relate this back to why would you tell a Bible story? Like, oh, you Bible guy, like if you don't like it. But I'm like, here's why. Because I was like the Jewish people eventually the Bible, because then I was like, I don't really feel like a hot dog right now.
No.
But I was like, it's a hot dog. And then I was like, I don't want to go get mustard and relish. I'm a mustard and relish hot dog guy.
All right. Solid hot dog.
But I was like, well, let me open it up. It's a hot dog. And I opened it up and it was kind of cold.
I was wondering. I was like, look, when did they make that hot dog to then take it up to the rafters and drop it?
It definitely wasn't warm.
Yeah.
And so I left the hot dog from heaven underneath the seat. And I didn't eat the hot dog from heaven at the All-Star game.
Oh, ungrateful.
I know. I was ungrateful.
Unbelievable.
For the free hot dog. I offered it to the people sitting next to me, but they're like, no, we're good. But can we take a picture with the parachute and the hot dog from heaven for the All-Star game? But yeah, I never caught a foul ball in my life.
But
never,
you caught
never
a hot dog.
But I caught a hot dog from heaven All-Star game.
So, I mean, look, may have been a little ungrateful for the hot dog from heaven, but I think we were all grateful in the All-Star game to get this type of performance early on in the festivities.
Houck's next pitch on the way. Ohtani drives this one to right. Soto doesn't move. He looks over his shoulder, and 12 rows deep it lands. A 3-run home run for the superstar Shohei Ohtani.
I mean, Mike, this All-Star game gave us pretty much most of the things you can imagine and hope for from an All-Star game with Shohei Ohtani and just the crack of the bat. You can hear that. It's always fun hearing that. You got eventually you still got the Paul Skeens matchup with Aaron Judge. It went by quickly, but yeah. Thankfully it seems like almost Skeens decided, I'm going to walk Soto to make sure I get this Judge thing and give the people what they want.
That was awesome that happened. I was going to mention the Paul Skeens thing in stadium because I'm sure 90% of the people listening right now watched it on television or you didn't watch it at all, which is fine. But if you're at the game, Skeens wasn't really hitting 100 miles an hour. But then when I saw the highlights, the gun on television had him throwing 100 more. Does that make sense? Yeah. I don't know if you're looking at the radar gun in the stadium. Yeah. But in stadium, he was throwing more like 98-ish, 97 at times. I think he touched, I don't know if he even touched 100, maybe one time on our board. He threw, I think, 15-ish or 16 pitches in the game. But then when I went back and I turned on MLB Network last night and I saw a couple of the pitches he threw, I was like, oh, he was touching triple digits on television radar gun.
Interesting. Okay, so I guess they're using a different gun
awesome.
In that way.
Which was awesome. I was so pumped to see Skeens. Like, I know it's weird. I just remember hearing about him transferring from Air Force to LSU and just hearing unbelievable things about him in non-conference games. So early in the college season and last year in March, I took my two kids down to A&M to see A&M LSU because I heard of Dylan Cruz, who's second overall pick, and Paul Skeens, who ended up being first overall pick. And I remember watching him, and Chad Allen's a former guy at Duncanville, played in the majors, and I was like, Chad, like, this dude's unbelievable. Like, the best college pitcher I've ever seen, and it's not close. Now, I didn't see Steven Strasburg or, like, let's say Mark Pryor, for instance, but, like, so it was crazy. I'm sitting there with my son going, Reggie, I cannot believe that guy that I saw, that I was like, this is unbelievable, in March at College Station, that he started the All-Star game the next year and was by far the show. That was the thing, that he goes from LSU to starting in the All-Star game, and hopefully he can continue it. I know that if Spencer Strider were to get healthy, he's pretty spectacular too. But
right,
Paul Skeens has a lot more behind him than Strider does.
Yeah, it really felt like a lot of first-time All-Stars made their imprint on this game. We talk about Paul Skeens. We were super excited to see Mason Miller, and I even texted you. I was like, look, we're getting Mason Miller Ohtani, not just Mason Miller throwing 103, but he's also going us against Ohtani, and he was gassing those things past the dude who hit the three-run homer earlier in the game.
Hardest fastball in the history of the All-Star game?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's
103.6.
That's awesome. I mean, that was when he comes in and he throws it. Obviously, I'm off to the side and up, but you can – the ball is just – it's just on the catcher. And you can see the hitter's reaction. And when you're watching from that distance, it's amazing that guys are able to time it up.
Yeah.
Because you see it and you're like, it's out of his hand and then in the catcher's mitt. And yet they're at times, I know not last night, great, but at times they're able to time it up
right.
just a little bit. Or when Emmanuel Clase comes in, stuff like that. But that was the fun part of really being there is like, you're like, every matchup was great. And then I thought, we got to the fifth inning, Reggie, I don't know what you thought. I was like, because my son was asking about substitutions.
Exactly.
As the American League started making substitutions, I'm like, usually guys get two at-bats. And then it was like third time through. Now I was like, maybe the National League's just going to play the starters the whole game.
That's what I was waiting. I was like, hey, are we going to get all these other guys in the game? I mentioned first-time All-Stars. Also, we were trying to figure out who are we calling for MVP. You went with Bobby Witt Jr. I was like, look, I think that Ellie De La Cruz can get it. We were both wrong. It was a first-timer from the Boston Red Sox, this man right here.
This is the guy that will take the extra base if he puts it in play, and this one may be out of play. He smacks one to right, and it is way out of here. Jaron Duran, about 25 rows up, right center field, a two-run home run, and now the American League is on top, 5-3, a no-doubter that traveled 413 feet.
That was the difference in the Midsummer Classic. Ended up being 5-3. Jaren Duran is the MVP of this. And one of the things I loved about this was also just hearing his interview when we got to stay after. And he just seemed so excited about it. I think that was a thing that you got to get a little bit of a feel of being in. And I imagine you probably got it on the TV broadcast as well. I just can't speak to that necessarily. How much fun they were having, especially the first timers. And you could see that it meant something to these guys.
Yeah, it's a super dream come true to make the major leagues. You get to be part of that kind of 1% of guys that, you know, are even like good high school, good college players that end up making the major leagues. And then out of that 1%, you're able to be the guys that make all-star teams or an all-star team. It was pretty spectacular. I'll tell you what, Reggie, in that inning, how crazy was it in the building for 3 seconds as Corey Seager launched a ball?
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Thought, oh my God, Corey Seager has, like, for us Texas Ranger fans, has done it again, and he just hit it to the biggest part of the field, or he might have been the MVP, because that would have made it 4-3, right?
Absolutely.
Because he came up with nobody on base in that inning, and he flies out, I don't know what it was, 405 to center field, where it's 410 where he hit the ball.
I wonder, let's play the audio here, Med, for this cut too. I want to hear if the audio caught just how loud it got with the ball off of Corey Seager's bat with that long fly out.
And here it comes from Green. Seager swings and makes good contact. Center field, deep. Hernandez on the track, and he reels it in. A little bit like Bobby Witt Jr. last night in the Derby. For a while, people were on their feet thinking, we have it here.
You don't have to take that swipe at Bobby Witt Jr. there. But, yeah, you could have heard that game right here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, you can hear it. The, oh, and then you hear people go, oh, when they realize it's going to be short. It's not making it. There were MVP chants when he came up to the plate as well.
That's awesome. I didn't hear that from where I was seated. But it was, I was sitting next to a guy who was one of Hunter Green's like summer league coaches in middle school or high school. So he was there specifically, flew in from the Los Angeles area to see Hunter Green.
Of the Reds.
Yeah. Who ended up getting the loss.
It feels weird that, I get it. Like, it's a baseball game. It's scored as such. There's going to be a winning pitcher and there's going to be a losing pitcher. And Hunter Green ends up being the losing pitcher. It just feels weird in an all-star context. Everybody's an all-star. This is a celebration of them. You are the loser today, you know?
Yeah. I did see this, though, going to the stadium. I was not expecting this. Is I started walking to the stadium, and Carlos Correa's family was walking to the stadium. I didn't know he was at the game. I assumed he was just going to be away from it.
Sure.
But so I think he really was. I mean, he really was hurt.
Right.
Because I think he did want to play in it because he had 8 or 9 family members like walking to the stadium. So.
I also had that moment when I was down listening to Marcus Semien give his post-game, you know, remarks. We're right next to the AL clubhouse, and as he's talking, Carlos Correa walks right by me, and I'm like, oh, okay, in like a nice cream suit, looks good. I was just like, oh, okay, so he is here, got you. But that does remind me, I was a little surprised, and maybe I shouldn't have been, at the amount of boos that Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah. And Carlos Correa, when they announced his name on the All-Star team, he got booed for that one moment.
But Yordan carried all the boos of the Astros, and we've talked about it. Like, in theory, you don't really have a great reason to boo him. I mean, he is an Astro, right? That's enough reason, I guess.
But he was not on the 2017 team. My son was asking me, and I said he made the major leagues in 2019 at some point in that season, I'm pretty sure. Because I know his rookie card is in the 2020 Topps rookie cards. So I'm like, I think he made the major leagues at some point in 2019.
But yeah, I mean, a fun experience all the way around. If you had to give a letter grade to, one, the game itself last night, and two, the All-Star experience, Mike, how do you think that you would grade it?
The game for me was an A. And then the experience for me was an A+. I don't want to get into that right here. We're up against it. I will talk about that in Baseball Nuggets. I'll tease it right now. The jerseys and the experience.
Okay. That's a little tease for 1040 here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We now will be turning very soon to the second half of the season, the proverbial second half of the season, as the Rangers need to get a move on to try and get themselves in a position to go back to back and win another World Series championship. Coming up next, let's do some My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have bad pop culture opinions or sports opinions? Text them in, 877-881-1053. We'll discuss them next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Datatula, Mike Bassick, Alec Medford here with you this evening, or this day. I keep saying evening because I'm used to the Get Right, which is frequently on these airwaves, 7 to 11 p.m. But yeah, man, it's been an all-star game festivities. We've had a lot of fun. We're getting ready for the second half of the Rangers season in particular, but the MLB season all the way around. However, it is a KNC Masterpiece. I want to stick to the staples. So let's do a little My Buddy's an Idiot here, 877-881-1053 The Fan. There we go. Text in with the opinions, the maybe stupid opinions of your friends or maybe yourself. Pop culture, sports. We already got some coming in on the Franco injury attorney text line from the 321. My buddy's an idiot. He wouldn't even eat a hot dog from heaven.
I know, but I don't.
Did you eat anything out there?
No. I mean, obviously, I've eaten plenty of food out at the ballpark.
That is fair.
But we stopped at off of 30, the Whataburger in Grand Prairie, kind of in between Oak Cliff and Arlington is that Whataburger there. And so that's where we stopped. And my son loves the chicken strip sandwich with the honey barbecue. Yeah, that's his favorite.
Do you know you can change the honey barbecue for honey butter if you really want to feel like a fatty?
Kind of more, I guess, breakfast style, that feels like to me. But
kind of. It's just really sugary.
So, yeah. So that's where we stopped before the game. And so we didn't eat out there. And I love baseball.
Yes.
I wanted to be locked in on the game. I didn't want to stand in line.
Sure. That's
and
fair.
So, yeah, but I love hot dogs at the game. I had a hot dog at the Home Run Derby, but we got it from the stand.
Yeah.
Where it was nice and hot and the bread is soft and warm. And so I was not hungry enough to eat a room temperature hot dog.
Yeah, obviously, you know, being in the press box, got to have as many hot dogs as my heart's contentment. But we also, you know, got a little bit of a meal voucher, and I was like, look, what I can do with this meal voucher, I can eat, you know, a hot dog or whatever that I want early before the game.
Right.
During the game, especially, I was like, once we get towards the back half of the game, I feel like it'll be a little bit easier to navigate. And so I went to Hurtado Barbecue because I hadn't been. And I got the birria quesadilla, and my goodness,
it's amazing.
It was really good. I was like, okay, I see what we're doing here. I see why G-Bag Nation won't stop talking about it. It was really, really good.
Because there's a great barbecue in our Metroplex. The one thing that Brandon is his name, Hurtado, is able to separate a little bit is he said, how can I make it? I think he calls it Texacue, I think. But how do I kind of mold Tex-Mex with barbecue? And that's how they set themselves apart from so many other barbecue places. There's great barbecue places around our Metroplex, but Hurtado's is distinct in the way that they do their barbecue. Unbelievably great flavors, but it's kind of like they mold a little bit of Tex-Mex into their barbecue.
From the 817, they said, my buddy's an idiot. Any national television event in Texas think we rope all day and ride horses everywhere.
That
is
true.
Did you have any issues with the ways that we kind of broadcasted Texas when it comes to these events?
Yes and no. I get it. If you drive an hour to 2 hours outside of our Metroplex, you will get a lot of that. You will get a lot of ranches, and you will get a lot of, raising cattle and whatever it is, and real true cowboys. But here in Arlington, in Dallas, in Fort Worth, you have the stockyards, but that's just kind of more of a show. That's not like you're living in the country in Fort Worth. You're living in a city that has a lot of city issues. So I get it. It was kind of cool to see the horses out there running around before the game started.
Yeah, it was a lot of horses.
But I'll tell you this, you know, it's interesting is the Rangers in a way have tried to go away a little bit from the country environment.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No,
they want to be like a little bit more up-tempo, a little bit more younger, a little bit more hip-hop. And so it was interesting being there is like they really went all in on old school country, it felt like, which was fine. I get it. But when you see the preview of like probably what's on television, which we're seeing on the big screen, and it is like we are in the middle of nowhere. We are in the plains of Texas playing
this baseball game. We are cattle driving all the way up. And, you know, we had the ropers the lassoing.
They're amazing, by the way.
Yes.
I just like to say, you guys and if girls who do that, amazing what you do. I have no clue how you do that. Very cool. But yeah, you would think that Texas is very different. And so that's always the tough thing about, I think, at times selling Texas to urban players, to players that grew up in New York
and think
Los
that
Angeles.
You ride a horse to
and
work.
I'm talking
and
about all sports. Is it? It feels a little bit. And then there's the Dallas Cowboys, you know, and the Texas Rangers. And so you start even a Maverick. You kind of associate with some sort of Western type of deal. And so.
And there are folks that still, you know, that do like make sure that they wear their boots every day and maybe they'll put on a cowboy hat for a special event and things like that. But I mean, it ends up being a really flat depiction of this place. And I think especially when you live here, it can get tiring when that's the only thing that some people know.
I think this is the same for football and basketball, but I know it is for baseball. The biggest alumni of Major League Baseball players, of former live here.
A lot of athletes love living here.
And a lot of football players live here. And a lot of, obviously, golfers live here. It's great weather for that for the most part, unless it's like right now.
And also, like when you travel, it's a great hub to travel.
Jerry Stackhouse thought this was the dumpiest place in the whole wide world and did an interview back in the day when he was playing for, I think, Washington at the time. It might have been Philadelphia. He was like, I would never play for the Mavericks. One, they're not good. That was the main reason. Two, he's like, Dallas sucks.
Wow.
He pretty much said on the air. I remember as a young kid listening to how
Don't
much Dallas sucked from Jerry Stackhouse. And then he got traded here. And then he did an interview a year or so later after being on the Dallas Mavericks or less than. He's like, wow, I had no clue how many great suburbs there were, how many unbelievable restaurants there are, how urbanized Dallas is. You just don't know it from everything you see. And if you just come in here and play a basketball game and then leave, they're like, I didn't really know what Dallas-Fort Worth, our Metroplex, was all about. So then they portray this on the All-Star game.
Right.
Where they're like, hey, you are in the plains of the Southwest. We have these stupid jerseys, which I'll talk about, which I guess they're saying are very like country stylish. I don't know, but right now, and this is from last night, Adam Wainwright and Harold Reynolds are wearing cowboy hats on the set, which is cool and everything. I'm not knocking them for doing it, but I don't know if I go 1 week running around town today, I'll be driving from here to Melissa and back. I don't think I'll see one person with a cowboy hat on. Not one.
Yeah, especially some of the hats that they wear. I feel like those are more like, all right, a special occasion, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and that's another thing is like, I imagine folks like, oh yeah, everybody wears those. Those are pricey. Those are pricey items, man.
Yeah,
go get you a nice pair of boots and see how much the tab ends up running up to.
Yeah. If you want a nice cowboy hat and a nice pair of cowboy boots, I'm not saying great, but nice. You're $600 for the pair.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. So thanks for shouting that out. I had an opportunity, Mike, yesterday to talk with Clinton Yates of ESPN, does a lot of covering baseball. And I want to ask you if he's, in for this particular take, an idiot. I understand that's the framework of the segment. Love Clinton Yates. But he said that he figured out one of the reasons why he felt like the home run derby didn't feel right last night. And so I want to get your perspective.
Ago, yeah.
Or 2 nights ago. Yeah, I've already forgotten that it's the next day. He said you can't have the home run derby without the roof open. Like being able to see the ball fly across the night sky is a nice part and a visually of the home run derby. And he felt like that changed the feeling and the effect of what the home run derby looked like.
I'll agree with him, except no way in heck did I want to be with it. It was 110 degrees Monday. It felt like when you're walking, when I walked to Esports It was 110 degrees because you have the...
At least the feel-like temperature, yeah, whatever they call it.
The whatever, cement, concrete, and the sun bouncing off of it, and you're begging for shade, and you're begging for water, and there's no way those guys could have performed. At 103 degrees at the start of the home run derby, and at the end of the home run derby, it maybe is down to 98 because the sun has gone down, and us in the stands would have been sweating our butts off, begging for water and sodas and beers and whatever to try to stay cool. I hear what he's saying. I don't disagree. Baseball outside is 1,000 times better than baseball inside. But I do agree that here, we have to have baseball inside for the majority of the season. I think they could be a little bit more lenient on the rules of opening up the roof of, like, if it's below 85, I think we can handle it here in Texas, that it's a 83 degree night in late April, early May. I think we could handle that. That, yeah, it's a little warm. It's not like indoor 73 degrees, but they want to make it as comfortable for the audience as possible. So they pretty much go, it has to be, for the most part, not a strict rule, under 80 degrees for them to consider opening up the roof.
Yeah. I'm somebody who I enjoy the warmth a little bit more. So I'm like, hey, man, if we can get into like the high 80s at night, like, we could open this thing up. But I understand, like, not everybody's in that same place. And we're talking about a large group of people close together with the body heat and all those things. It'd be tough, but I would have loved to see the roof open for one of these games.
I'm going to let you insight a little bit of information on my buddy's an idiot right now. Now, not an idiot. I'm not calling these guys idiots.
Right.
But this is funny right now. I can look down the hallway, and I don't know if they can hear our broadcast or not, but our two bosses, it looks like Tim Collins' office door locked him out, like permanently locked him out. They have pliers. They have all kinds of tools. They're trying to figure out how to get this door open. And it's just funny as I keep peeking and I see the two guys, our two bosses, trying to figure out how they're going to unlock this door. Because I'm assuming keys aren't working right now. So they're trying pliers.
Is there anything?
And they're walking back and forth trying to get different tools to see if they can open up Tim's office door.
Is there anything that makes you feel stupid than getting locked out of either your car or your house? Like, I feel so useless in those moments. And I did that. I've done that relatively recently. I think within the last month, I had to call a friend because somehow my car, and this would made it worse. So I guess my buddy being me is the idiot. I went in to go grocery shop and somehow I was wearing pants where my pockets either didn't zip and had shallow pockets. So my key slipped out into the seat. But then typically, especially with newer cars, your key isn't supposed to lock in the car. It should notice it, but somehow it actually locked.
Oh.
So I went, I shopped, I had a full cart, and I got back to my car, and I was like, oh, I can't get in. But I had a dilemma. It's hot as heck outside. I can walk to my house and get my spare key, but I have a grocery cart full of stuff. So, like, do I leave the cart out just in the parking lot
I would take it back into the store because it's going to, whatever, if it's refrigerated or frozen, it'll start melting in a hurry. I would have gone back into whatever grocery store you're at and then asked behind, like, where you can buy, like, I don't know, lottery tickets or whatever.
Sure.
But can you hold my groceries? I locked myself out. I need to keep these at least in, like, this 70-degree place instead of the 140 degree cement that you're going to lay
right.
it on.
Can I add to the degree of difficulty? This is Sam's Club, so this is like the bulk
Sam's
stuff
Club. Okay. So I go to this Kroger right down the street. I think if I left my groceries out for 20 minutes to go retrieve keys and then come back, I think all my groceries are going to be
gone. That was my thought as well. Either not going to be very good when I would get back to them, or they're just going to be gone. And I was like, do I walk this cart out of here? And so ultimately I was like, let me see if I can call someone nearby to come
pick
me up.
And the cart usually locks up, right? At least at Kroger, they have perimeters over there that if you park at Bank of America because it's too busy, like a big holiday where everybody's at the grocery store and you have to go get something, the cart locks up after you get kind of outside of what they consider their parking lot.
Oh, no. Okay, so now we've got people, their various like the moments that make you feel the stupidest, because I started the betting at locking yourself out of places. Someone said running out of gas on a payday. Running out of gas in general, I imagine, that's a winner. That's a winner up here. And then someone else threw in from the 214, reminds me of when I rolled down a window right after getting a car wash, instant regret. So, okay, all right, excellent. A little bit of my buddy's an idiot here on the KNC Masterpiece. on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we get you a little baseball nuggets with Mike Bassett.
Why I will take the... next.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105 through the Fan. Reginald Atula. Mike Bassick is still alive. I know that that was a little bit of a tease that we left you on the edge of your seat. Alec Medford also here with you. And look, let's figure out what happened to Mike in doing a little baseball nuggets with Mike Bassick.
My throat got dry. So as I went to talk, my throat just dried up on me. So I went and got a bottle of water. I brought one bottle of water, just your small 16-ouncer. So that was going to have to get me through the next 3 hours and 15 minutes.
You can fill it back up, right?
I don't trust the water up here. I feel like we've had so many water issues up here that I don't know if we're getting clean water out of the tap.
That is, I bring my water from home, so yeah. I'm with you there.
Okay, so let me start with the positive. If you're listening earlier during Crosstalk, if not, I reset right here, is... Sean asked me and he was surprised by my answer. And then I told him off the air because we were out of time. He said, so what was your experience like, your Monday, Tuesday and everything? And I said, I'll take it to my grave. Unbelievable, unforgettable.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday and Sunday were great too. Saturday and Sunday, I went out and did the kind of, I don't qualify for this, but I was part of the legends that you could meet and greet and ask questions and get autographs and take pictures with and everything. And it was awesome. Major League Baseball, I think, did a great job. Texas Rangers did a great job with that whole All-Star Village experience situation. I thought for $10, heck, man, that's right. A heck of a deal.
But in that moment, you were basically working, right?
Yes, I was working. And
so you weren't able to be the baseball fan necessarily.
Yeah, so I didn't get to go see things. So Monday, I got to see the esports thing right as it was closing up pretty much before the Home Run Derby. But the reason I say it was unforgettable, A+, is I'm a dad. And in 1995, I didn't go with my father to the Home Run Derby. I went with my girlfriend's brother. He invited me to the game, who is now my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I went to the All-Star game with. But my father, because I was like, oh, I'm going to miss this summer league game. And my coach said I have to sit out the next game, like I have to be benched the next game, which hurt me. Like I didn't want to miss 1 second of baseball. But my dad also told me, he's like, go to the All-Star game. Like, there's no reason to not go. Like, so what? So
you miss this
game, and a day or two later, you're going to miss another game. That is not going to, like, hamper your career in baseball at 17 years old. So I got to go to that. So Monday, my son, I had extra tickets. Thanks to RJ Choppy, because he was like, can you get tickets? I was like, I can get them, but, like, I mean, you're just going to have to get them for face value from me, because, and he's like, I don't want to go, they're too expensive. So I was like, all right, son, invite three friends, you know, type of deal. You get to invite three friends,
and now
for free.
You'll be a part of their memory, your brother-in-law was in 95. Yeah.
And so anyways, I get to go to the Home Run Derby with one of my good friends, and then my son got to take three friends, and that was awesome. And it wasn't perfect. The Home Run Derby is not perfect anymore. It's not like the most, it's not the greatest thing I've ever seen. Going to, just to give you examples, things that were way, way better. I got to go to the first ever national championship game in football for the new
college football playoff.
Yeah, because it was Ohio State versus Oregon. Marcus Mariota, Ezekiel Elliott. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. Getting to go to see Texas Tech play Florida, and I always, Loyola Marymount of Chicago play Tennessee, yep, to go to the Sweet 16. That was unbelievable. That was, yes, that environment, spectacular. I think that was 2018, if I have my years right.
It sounds about right.
So I think Grant Williams was on, I know he was. Grant Williams was on University of Tennessee at the time. But there's better things I've been to. Don't get me wrong. There's better environments I've been to with things on the line. Awesome things. But I'm a father. I already have a daughter that's in college. I barely see her. She loves University of Texas and she loves school. She's unbelievable at school. So she wants to take a zillion classes. She's going to class right now from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. during the summertime.
Oh my goodness.
To get a minor in business in summer.
She's so much better than me.
Because she loves learning and she loves school. That's why she's valedictorian. But I don't get to see her much anymore. So I know my time with her the rest of my life is limited. She does not live at our house anymore. She probably very rarely will be at our house the rest of her life. So I got to take my son last night to the MLB All-Star Game, which I had always dreamed of taking him to. I looked into different venues over time to take him. But then you start putting the cost together of, and I have another son too. He's at camp right now, so he wasn't able to go. But you start putting together three plane tickets, a hotel room, the tickets to the Home Run Derby, the tickets to the All-Star Game, the food and everything, and then the experience, that all of the things. I was like, so if I wanted to do this and go out of town, I honestly don't even know where the All-Star Game is next year. But
Atlanta.
So if I wanted to go to Atlanta next year, it would probably cost me, I've done this before, like to Cleveland or whatever, and tried to price it, and there's been inflation in our world.
What?
You're looking at probably $5,000 to $7,000 for kind of a Sunday through Wednesday experience, because you'd fly out Wednesday morning. So you're looking at everything included, your hotel room and everything. You're looking at a lot of money. So to get to do this was awesome. And so with my son, who loves baseball, his dream is to play college baseball and Major League Baseball. And I told him, keep dreaming, man. 10 years from now, I'm going to see you in this game. Mm. The next time I go to an All-Star game will be when you're playing in the All-Star game.
You get to wear
in
the major jersey. Leagues.
I get it.
No matter how bad it looks.
Yeah, and I know. If he's listening right now, I know the likelihood, the percentages. Hell, I was the best player in the state of Texas in 1996, and I didn't even come close to making an All-Star game in the major leagues. But to get to see it, I was thinking of Bobby Witt Sr., getting to see Bobby Witt Jr., you know, and he was one of the greatest high school players of all time. But I was just thinking to myself, this will be a moment. Even if my son only plays high school baseball and doesn't play college baseball, like, this is a moment we'll never forget. Remember when we went to the All-Star game and we saw Mason Miller and Emmanuel Clase and Paul Skeen start? And remember when Corey Seager, we thought he hit a home run and didn't? And remember when we thought Bobby Witt Jr. at the Home Run Derby hit a home run to tie it up? And we were all like, I can't believe he did it. And then it hit the bottom of the wall. Like, all of these things as a father, and he loves baseball. I love baseball. That's what makes it a take it to my grave experience. Yeah. Not that the game was the greatest game I've ever seen, or the greatest environment I've ever seen, or the Home Run Derby will be remembered forever in the history of baseball. Next year, nobody's going to remember that Teoscar Hernandez won it. We're going to have to be reminded on that Monday night, like, who is the defending champ? We won't remember. Who did he beat? We won't remember. So for me, the memorable part was being with my son and getting to experience that moment, because I know I will never forget 1995. I forget some things about it, but I remember being there and how important it was. And so here it was. That's the thing that I'll remember about it, is a father-son experience that I will probably never get the rest of my life.
And I think that's the great thing about sports. There's two things that I feel like are the really great things about sports that sometimes we can neglect. Which is one, just seeing incredible athletes do amazing things. Like, sometimes just like the raw, that was something that's insane, right? Seeing Mason Miller touch 103 consistently last night. Yeah. Just like, that is an insane thing that we did not realize that the human being could do at that. And it's just like seeing amazing happen. And then two is the way that sports can connect us with relationships and bring us together. Those are the things that I think sports does incredibly that I love, that I think you got to appreciate in a whole different level last night and all this weekend. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad you highlighted
that. And at this point in my life as a father, I know my time with my kids is short.
Yeah.
As I got home, I was happy and sad, because I know that that moment was awesome, but I also know that the moment of making him a milkshake afterwards, that's almost over. He's 3 years away from me probably not seeing them a whole bunch the rest of my life. You get used to seeing your kids every day and being with them every day, and they can drive you insane at times.
Right.
But then you just miss them so much. And so, you know, experiencing this with my daughter now and having the real experience of missing her, is that was an awesome moment. But I also feel the like sorrow of like, that isn't going to last much longer in my life. Now I'll get to this. I have a minute and a half to get to this. The thing that I hated, if I could give it a Z minus, I would give it a Z minus. F minus times 1,000. Those jerseys and seeing those players, the greatest players in the game, with the worst jerseys ever created by mankind. Even if I get in a little bit of trouble by this one, I don't care. I want to make sure everybody hears this. Never, ever have All-Star jerseys again. Those were the worst things I've ever seen in the history of baseball, and everybody agreed around me, except I didn't ask the people who were wearing those jerseys.
Dude, fair enough. They've already told you what they think.
They wasted their money on some of the worst-looking jerseys in the history of baseball. When they show the highlights of Shohei Ohtani hitting his first ever, maybe only ever, home run, and he's wearing that trash in that game instead of wearing his Dodgers jersey, against a guy wearing his, I'm sorry, I'm already forgetting who he was. It Logan Webb? I forget who he hit the home run off of. But
wait, which home run?
Ohtani hit his home run off of, and I'm forgetting. But there should be whoever he hit it off of. He should be wearing his jersey. Like, those were stupid, horrible in person.
Off of Houck, Tanner Houck.
Okay, so for Boston. Sorry, I was messing that one up. But those were the worst things in the history of baseball that were on a field. And I remember last year being disappointed that our Rangers were wearing Seattle Mariners looking jerseys. Yeah. Like, they were weird Mariners looking jerseys. But I was like, this is stupid. There's nobody that likes baseball that wants to see that again on a baseball field. Burn those jerseys. Hey. Never put those on again. And then the other thing is too, get it back to, if you want to sell a hat, I get it's a money grab. If you want to sell a hat where they're not wearing their team hat and you just make a hat for everybody to wear as, like, this is the National League team hat, okay. They should be wearing their team colors and their team jerseys.
And
if you need to make money, put a sponsor on their jersey.
Like a patch or something. Yeah. Yeah. I honestly, I agree. And I think also, like, just actually when it comes to the mechanics of it, it would make it better, because there were times where I was looking and I was like, who is that again? And it'd be nice to see that jersey and, like, know instantly, oh, okay, that's Dodgers jersey. I know that's Teoscar Hernandez or whatever, right?
I'm sitting to a dude who knows Hunter Green well. He wasn't 100% sure that was Hunter Green coming into the game. When he's running, because you're 150 yards away from wherever we're to see him come into the game. And I'm like, is that Hunter Green? I think it is, you know. And honestly, I'll be honest. I'm like, yeah, that looks like his ass. I'm trying to go by what his butt looks like.
That's right.
Because the jersey doesn't give me any idea of who's coming in. When they made the mass substitution in the sixth inning, National League, I know who Ellie De La Cruz is by his size. I know who CJ Abrams is by his hair and his size. At second base and in center field. And I'm like, who the crap is this? Because they're all in these trash jerseys. If they were wearing their real jerseys, it would make sense that the Colorado Rocky representative is at second base right now.
Yeah.
Like, but you had no clue, in a way, who kind of the new All-Stars were, or not the Aaron Judges or Shoheis of the world. And just never do that again. Please don't run out trash uniforms in this game. That's the one thing I wish we would have got to see, is all the different colors of the jerseys that teams represent.
There you go. It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan, the show that identifies cheeks better than any other in the Metroplex. Coming up next, we continue what I like to call List Week, baby. Who are the top 10 wide receivers in the National Football League? Where does CeeDee Lamb rank? We'll do that next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece here on 105 through The Fan. Reginald Atatula, Mike Bacsik is still alive. I know that was a little bit of a tease that we left you on the edge of your seat. Alec Mefford also here with you. And look, let's figure out what happened to Mike in doing a little baseball nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
My throat got dry. So as I went to talk, my throat just dried up on me. So I went and got a bottle of water. I brought one bottle of water, just your small 16-ouncer. So that was going to have to get me through the next 3 hours and 15 minutes.
You can fill it back up, right?
I don't trust the water up here. I feel like we've had so many water issues up here that I don't know if we're getting clean water out of the tap.
I bring my water from home, so yeah. I'm with you there.
Okay, so let me start with the positive. If you're listening earlier during Crosstalk, if not, I reset right here, is Sean asked me and he was surprised by my answer. And then I told him off the air because we were out of time. He said, so what was your experience like, your Monday, Tuesday and everything? And I said, I'll take it to my grave. Unbelievable, unforgettable.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday and Sunday were great too. Saturday and Sunday, I went out and did the kind of, I don't qualify for this, but I was part of the legends that you could meet and greet and ask questions and get autographs and take pictures with and everything. And it was awesome. Major League Baseball, I think, did a great job. Texas Rangers did a great job with that whole All-Star Village experience situation. I thought for $10, heck, man, that's right. A heck of a deal.
But in that moment, you were basically working, right?
Yes, I was working. And
so you weren't able to be the baseball fan necessarily.
Yeah, so I didn't get to go see things. So Monday, I got to see the esports thing right as it was closing up pretty much before the Home Run Derby. But the reason I say it was unforgettable, A+, is I'm a dad. And in 1995, I didn't go with my father to the Home Run Derby. I went with my girlfriend's brother. He invited me to the game, who is now my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I went to the All-Star game with. But my father, because I was like, oh, I'm going to miss this summer league game. And my coach said I have to sit out the next game, like I have to be benched the next game, which hurt me. Like I didn't want to miss 1 second of baseball. But my dad also told me, he's like, go to the All-Star game. Like, there's no reason to not go. Like, so what? So
look,
you miss this game,
knowledge.
And a day or two later, you're going to miss another game. That is not going to, like, hamper your career in baseball at 17 years old. So I got to go to that. So Monday, my son, I had extra tickets. Thanks to RJ Choppy, because he was like, can you get tickets? I was like, I can get them, but, like, I mean, you're just going to have to get them for face value from me, because, and he's like, I don't want to go, they're too expensive. So I was like, all right, son, invite three friends, you know, type of deal. You get to invite three friends,
and now
for free,
you'll be a part of their memory, like your brother-in-law was in 95. Yeah.
And so anyways, I get to go to the Home Run Derby with one of my good friends, and then my son got to take three friends, and that was awesome. And it wasn't perfect. The Home Run Derby is not perfect anymore. It's not like the most, it's not the greatest thing I've ever seen. Going to, just to give you examples, things that were way, way better. I got to go to the first ever national championship game in football for the new
college football playoff.
Yeah, because it was Ohio State versus Oregon. Marcus Mariota, Ezekiel Elliott. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. Getting to go to see Texas Tech play Florida, and I always, Loyola Marymount of Chicago play Tennessee, yep, to go to the Sweet 16. That was unbelievable. That was, yes, that environment, spectacular. I think that was 2018, if I have my years right.
It sounds about right.
So I think Grant Williams was on, I know he was. Grant Williams was on University of Tennessee at the time. But there's better things I've been to. Don't get me wrong. There's better environments I've been to with things on the line. Awesome things. But I'm a father. I already have a daughter that's in college. I barely see her. She loves University of Texas, and she loves school. She's unbelievable at school, so she wants to take a zillion classes. She's going to class right now from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. during the summertime.
Oh my goodness.
To get a minor in business in
she's
one
so
summer.
Much better than me.
Because she loves learning, and she loves school. That's why she's valedictorian. But I don't get to see her much anymore, so I know my time with her the rest of my life is limited. She does not live at our house anymore. She probably very rarely will be at our house the rest of her life. So I got to take my son last night to the MLB All-Star game, which I had always dreamed of taking him to. I looked into different venues over time to take him. But then you start putting the cost together of, and I have another son too. He's at camp right now, so he wasn't able to go. But you start putting together three plane tickets, a hotel room, the tickets to the Home Run Derby, the tickets to the All-Star game, the food and everything.
Yep.
And then the experience that all of the things, I was like, so if I wanted to do this and go out of town, I honestly don't even know where the All-Star game is next year. But
Atlanta.
So if I wanted to go to Atlanta next year, it would probably cost me, I've done this before, like to Cleveland or whatever, and tried to price it. And there's been inflation in our world.
What?
You're looking at probably $5,000 to $7,000 for kind of a Sunday through Wednesday experience, because you'd fly out Wednesday morning. So you're looking at everything included, your hotel room and everything. You're looking at a lot of money. So to get to do this was awesome. And so with my son, who loves baseball, his dream is to play college baseball and Major League Baseball. And I told him, keep dreaming, man. 10 years from now, I'm going to see you in this game.
Mm.
The next time I go to an All-Star game will be when you're playing in the All-Star game.
You get to wear
in the major
jersey.
Leagues. I get it.
No matter how bad it looks.
Yeah, and I know. If he's listening right now, I know the likelihood, the percentages. Hell, I was the best player in the state of Texas in 1996, and I didn't even come close to making an All-Star game in the major leagues. But to get to see it, I was thinking of Bobby Witt Sr., getting to see Bobby Witt Jr. You know, and he was one of the greatest high school players of all time. But I was just thinking to myself, this will be a moment. Even if my son only plays high school baseball and doesn't play college baseball, like, this is a moment we'll never forget. Remember when we went to the All-Star game and we saw Mason Miller and Emmanuel Clase and Paul Skeen start? And remember when Corey Seager, we thought he hit a home run and didn't? And remember when we thought Bobby Witt Jr. at the home run derby hit a home run to tie it up? And we were all like, I can't believe he did it. And then it hit the bottom of the wall. Like, all of these things as a father, and he loves baseball. I love baseball. That's what makes it a take it to my grave experience. Yeah. Not that the game was the greatest game I've ever seen or the greatest environment I've ever seen or the home run derby will be remembered forever in the history of baseball. Next year, nobody's going to remember that Teoscar Hernandez won it. We're going to have to be reminded on that Monday night, like, who is the defending champ? We won't remember. Who did he beat? We won't remember. So for me, the memorable part was being with my son and getting to experience that moment, because I know I will never forget 1995. I forget some things about it, but I remember being there and how important it was. And so here it was. That's the thing that I'll remember about it, is a father-son experience that I will probably never get the rest of my life.
And I think that's the great thing about sports. There's two things that I feel like are the really great things about sports that sometimes we can neglect. Which is one, just seeing incredible athletes do amazing things. Like, sometimes just like the raw, that was something that's insane, right? Seeing Mason Miller touch 103 consistently last night. Just like, that is an insane thing that we did not realize that the human being could do at that. And it's just like seeing amazing happen. And then two is the way that sports can connect us with relationships and bring us together. Those are the things that I think sports does incredibly that I love, that I think you got to appreciate in a whole different level last night and all this weekend. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad you highlighted
that. And at this point in my life as a father, I know my time with my kids is short.
Yeah.
As I got home, I was happy and sad because I know that that moment was awesome, but I also know that the moment of making him a milkshake afterwards, that's almost over. He's 3 years away from me probably not seeing them a whole bunch the rest of my life. You get used to seeing your kids every day and being with them every day, and they can drive you insane at times.
Right.
But then you just miss them so much. And so, you know, experiencing this with my daughter now and having the real experience of missing her, is that was an awesome moment. But I also feel the like sorrow of like that isn't going to last much longer in my life. Now, I'll get to this. I have a minute and a half to get to this. The thing that I hated, if I could give it a Z minus, I would give it a Z minus. F minus times 1,000. Those jerseys and seeing those players, the greatest players in the game, with the worst jerseys ever created by mankind. Even if I get in a little bit of trouble by this one, I don't care. I want to make sure everybody hears this. Never, ever have all-star jerseys again. Those were the worst things I've ever seen in the history of baseball, and everybody agreed around me, except I didn't ask the people who were wearing those jerseys.
Dude, fair enough. They've already told you what they think.
They wasted their money on some of the worst-looking jerseys in the history of baseball. When they show the highlights of Shohei Ohtani hitting his first ever, maybe only ever, home run, and he's wearing that trash in that game instead of wearing his Dodgers jersey, against a guy wearing his, I'm sorry, I'm already forgetting who he was. It Logan Webb? I forget who he hit the home run off of. But
wait, which home run?
Ohtani hit his home run off of, and I'm forgetting. But there should be, whoever he hit it off of, he should be wearing his jersey. Like, those were stupid, horrible in person.
Off of Houck, Tanner Houck.
Okay, so for Boston. Sorry, I was messing that one up. But those were the worst things in the history of baseball that were on a field. And I remember last year being disappointed that our Rangers were wearing Seattle Mariners looking jerseys. Yeah. Like, they were weird Mariners looking jerseys. But I was like, this is stupid. There's nobody that likes baseball that wants to see that again on a baseball field. Burn those jerseys. Never put those on again. And then the other thing is too, get it back to, if you want to sell a hat, I get it's a money grab. If you want to sell a hat where they're not wearing their team hat and you just make a hat for everybody to wear as like, this is the National League team hat. Okay. They should be wearing their team colors and their team jerseys.
And
if
I think
need to make money, put a sponsor on their jersey.
Like a patch or something. Yeah. I honestly, I agree. And I think also, like, just actually when it comes to the mechanics of it, it would make it better, because there were times where I was looking and I was like, who is that again? And it'd be nice to see that jersey and, like, know instantly, oh, okay, that's Dodgers jersey. I know that that's Teoscar Hernandez or whatever, right?
I'm sitting to a dude who knows Hunter Green well. He wasn't 100% sure that was Hunter Green coming into the game. When he's running, because you're 150 yards away from wherever we're to see him come into the game. And I'm like, is that Hunter Green? I think it is, you know. And honestly, I'll be honest, I'm like, yeah, that looks like his ass. Like, I'm trying to,
you know,
go,
what to do.
I'm trying to go by what his butt looks like.
That's right.
Because the jersey doesn't give me any idea of who's coming in. When they made the mass substitution in the sixth inning, National League, I know who Ellie De La Cruz is by his size. I know who C.J. Abrams is by his hair and his size. At second base and in center field. And I'm like, who the crap is this? Because they're all in these trash jerseys. If they were wearing their real jerseys, it would make sense that the Colorado Rocky representative is at second base right now.
Yeah.
Like, but you had no clue, in a way, who kind of the new All-Stars were, or not the Aaron Judges or Shoheis of the world. And just never do that again. Please don't run out trash uniforms in this game. That's the one thing I wish we would have got to see, is all the different colors of the jerseys that teams represent.
There you go. It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan, the show that identifies cheeks better than any other in the Metroplex. Coming up next, we continue what I like to call List Week, baby. Who are the top 10 wide receivers in the National Football League? Where does CeeDee Lamb rank? We'll do that next on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.